Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's always a pleasure to see those of you who are able to be present with us in the sanctuary, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We have a few announcements. Our volunteers for Food Pantry on Monday from 12 to 1 are Jan Nelson and Linda Champlin. Tuesday here at 10 o'clock, we have Bible study. We are beginning a study on angels. Everyone is invited to join us. Wednesday at 8 a.m. is the men's breakfast right here. Men definitely are invited to join us. I probably am the only woman who comes to the men's breakfast, aren't I? But that's okay. At 5:30 here, we will have our Ash Wednesday service with the participation of our youth group. Everyone is invited to attend that as well. Thursday, 10 o'clock, Bible study over at the UCC. We're doing an overview of the Bible. 1 o'clock over here is prayer shawl ministry. 2 o'clock here is bell choir. Yeah, and it will just get busier as time goes on. We are also looking for Synod Assembly delegates. Synod Assembly will be May 9th through 11th in Loveland, Colorado. We can have up to 2 delegates. We need at least 1 so that I'm not there all by myself. So if you're interested, please let us know. Before we begin with worship, I know everyone is aware of the situation that is going on in Ukraine. There is an interfaith call to peace for Ukraine. Let me read that. It is dated February 24, 2022. Though we have been anxious about the recent growing tensions between Ukraine and Russia and between Russia and the NATO countries in recent weeks, we remain deeply concerned, as we've been since 2014, for the impact of this ongoing conflict on innocent civilians throughout Ukraine. All parties to the conflict must take every measure possible to protect civilians. All parties in the international community must renew efforts to de-escalate this threat to international peace and security. All our religious traditions call us to pray and work for peace. We join our voices and hands together. We must open our eyes to those who are suffering, and we cannot remain indifferent to the injustice this conflict has brought on the people of Ukraine and may bring on people of neighboring countries. We call on all those involved, whether governments, movements, or individuals, to repent of aggression and violence and turn instead to the way of peace through dialogue. We also call upon the faithful people of our congregations and communities to pray for wisdom, peace, and justice to prevail in Ukraine. Join us as we pray. O divine, most mighty, most merciful, our sacred stories tell us that you help and save your people. You are the fortress. May there be no more war. You are the harvest. May there be no more hunger. You are the light. May no one die alone or in despair. O divine, most majestic, most motherly, grant us your life. Amen. That is signed by a number of faith leaders, including our own Bishop Eaton. So please hold the people of Ukraine in your prayers. And the people of the entire world. I invite you to stand as you're able for the confession of forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. It is number 671. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your face in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 34th chapter of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterwards, all of the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went to speak with him again. The word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 99 responsively. The Lord is king. Let the people tremble. The Lord is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake.
The Lord, great in Zion, is high above all peoples.
Let them confess God's name, which is great and awesome. God is the Holy One.
Almighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord, and fall down before God's footstool. God is the Holy One.
Moses and Aaron among your priests, and Samuel among those who call upon your name, O Lord. They call upon you, and you answer them.
You spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept your testimonies and the decree that you gave them. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and worship upon God's holy hill, for the Lord our God is the Holy One. The second reading is from the third and fourth chapters of 2 Corinthians. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, in this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of the glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides, and we refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I think most of us have a special word or two. Can you think of some words that might be special to you?
Love.
Love. Love is a good word. Anything else?
Faith.
Faith is a great word.
Peace.
Oh, peace is a wonderful word.
Hope.
Yes.
Compassion.
Yes. There is a special word that we use in church that we are going to not be using during Lent. Any idea what that word is?
Hallelujah!
So guess what we're going to do today? You're each going to get an hallelujah. Helen, can I have you help me?
Help as well.
Give everyone an hallelujah. And yes, because I have nothing else to do, I have hallelujahs in different fonts. Every one of them is different because every one of us is different. So what I'm going to be asking you to do as you come forward for communion is to come forward and drop it in the bucket that we have. And we are going to bury our hallelujahs because we're not going to be saying hallelujah again until when? Easter, that's right. Easter morning, the Alleluias will come out in force. On Easter morning, we will be singing Alleluia over and over and over again because we won't have said or sung Alleluia for all of those days of Lent. So we're going to be putting away our Alleluias. We're going to be burying them symbolically. And part of it is because of what Alleluia means. Alleluia is actually a combination of words. Put together, it means praise God. And it's not that we're going to stop praising God. It's just we're going to put away some of the joy that Alleluia means. Make sure you take one for yourself. Thank you. So that word, Alleluia, that word of joy, we're putting away for this time of year. With the idea that it will be so much more important to us when we have been away from it for a while. You know what they say, that absence makes the heart grow fonder? And we don't even think about Alleluia most of the time. We say it and we sing it all the time. We said it just before, or sang it just before the gospel. It's just such a part of us that we won't really notice it until it's gone. So that's why I'm going to ask as you come forward for communion, just drop it there, and we'll put some soil over it, and we'll see what happens at Easter time. All right? So, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A voice that spoke from the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." There are many chosen people in the Bible. Moses was chosen to lead the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery. He was also the one to whom God gave the law embodied in the Ten Commandments. Isaiah was chosen as a prophet to provide words of comfort as well as condemnation. In the Old Testament, we also see Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, David, and a whole number of others chosen for special purposes by God. And in the New Testament, we see many chosen ones, especially the apostles and the other followers of Jesus. But the one who is chosen with a capital C is Jesus. In today's gospel reading, Jesus takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up to a mountain to pray. Those three seem to form a sort of inner circle that have experiences of Jesus that the others do not. It is those three who witness the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, as well as other miracles, and they are the only ones present at the Transfiguration. The Gospels do not indicate why these three seem to be singled out. I like one statement that I read about why Jesus seemed to spend more time with these three than with the rest of the 12. That writer hypothesized that the reason was that they were the most unpolished, the ones most in need of Jesus' attention. Peter, he frequently blurts out what he's thinking without pausing to consider. And James and John, they were called the sons of thunder. When Jesus and his disciples were traveling through Samaria and were unable to find lodging for the night, James and John asked if Jesus wanted them to call down fire upon the Samaritans. Jesus rebuked them, saying that he came not to destroy, but to save. And James and John were also the ones who argued about which one should sit at Jesus' right and his left when he entered into his glory, again receiving a rebuke. It is possible that these three are mentioned because they are the ones who later were the leaders in the early church, as described in the book of Acts. But I like the idea that Jesus knew that if he gave these three disciples additional attention, he could smooth their rough edges and polish them into something special. Peter, James, and John witness an awe-inspiring experience on the mountaintop. As Jesus is praying, his face changes and his clothes become dazzling white. Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets, appear and talk with Jesus. They appear in glory, which show that they are heavenly beings, and they speak with Jesus about his departure, which he is about to accomplish in Jerusalem. This is a foreshadowing of Jesus' death, his exodus, as well as of the glory of his resurrection. And Peter, not knowing what he's saying, tells Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And as he said this, the cloud overshadowed them. And then a voice spoke from the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Earlier in this chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus asked his disciples who the crowd said he was. They answered, "John the Baptist," but others, "Elijah," and still others, "that one of the ancient prophets has arisen." Then Jesus asked who they said he was. And Peter quickly answered, "The Messiah of God." In this experience on the mountaintop, the three disciples are seeing who Jesus really is. They gain a glimpse of the glory of God and learn that Peter was correct in his expression of faith. The one that they are following is not John the Baptist or Moses or Elijah or any of the prophets returned from the dead. Instead, he is far greater than those who have come before him. He is the Messiah, the fulfillment of the law and the prophecies. This is the last Sunday before we enter the season of Lent. It is the time when we prepare our hearts and our minds for the great feast of Easter. We will be observing Jesus as he journeys toward Jerusalem and the cross. And we will be asked over and over to make the decision to follow him, knowing that we will be observing his face transformed in agony, knowing that the road to Jerusalem leads to death, but also knowing that death is not the end of the story. Instead, the glory of God will be revealed more fully at the resurrection, when Jesus will shine for all the world to see. During Lent, we will have the opportunity to journey together on Wednesday evenings, beginning this week with Ash Wednesday and ending the Wednesday before Palm Sunday. Starting next week, we will be joining with Union Congregational and St. Luke's Episcopal for soup, supper, and worship. This will be a time for fellowship, and we encourage you to come as you're able and invite your friends, your family members, and your neighbors to attend. Each week, we will focus on one episode from season one of the series, The Chosen, and use it for some directed conversation time while we eat. The opening statement of episode one asserts, "The Chosen is based on the true stories of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Some locations and timelines have been combined or condensed. Backstories and some characters or dialogue have been added." It also urges readers to read the Gospels themselves if they want to know what the real story is. Dallas Jenkins stated that his goal in creating the series is to help people to know Jesus better and to love Scripture more. To do so, he and the other scriptwriters have taken the Gospel accounts and, using quite a bit of artistic license, have fleshed out various characters and added backstories to help viewers see the people in the Bible as real people. Real people who dealt with the same types of issues that modern people do, such as family members, job concerns, finances, and taxes. So when you view the episodes, don't be surprised if the characters are not the way that you would have pictured them. I would never have imagined Matthew the tax collector as someone on the autism spectrum, nor would I have imagined Peter as someone who would collaborate with the Romans in order to pay his tax debt. The hope is that this series will serve as a springboard for discussion and encourage you to open your Bibles and read the Gospels and find out what they really do say. Compare what you view with Scripture, realizing that the series is simply the idea of one group of people about what it would have been like to have been around Jesus, to have been a fisherman or a tax collector or a religious leader called into a radical relationship with the preacher, teacher, and healer from Nazareth known as Jesus, who also turned out to be the long-awaited Messiah. In the study guide, the writers note that the series titled The Chosen refers to multiple things, including God's chosen nation of Israel and all those whom Jesus chooses. They note that God repeatedly rescued Israel in spite of their constant rebellion, and that each time God's rescue served as a reminder that they were God's beloved chosen people, repeatedly forgiven and restored, set apart and protected, provided for and loved, daily led on earth and assured of spending eternity with God in heaven. With the coming of Jesus, the promised Messiah, the status of chosen is extended to all who respond to his call. Thus, those of us who believe in the gospel message, those of us who acknowledge our sinfulness and our need for a Savior, those of us who take up our cross and follow Jesus, are also the chosen people of God. Peter wished to stay on the mountain, to make dwelling places there, to revel in the mountaintop experience. There's nothing wrong with mountaintop experiences, those times when we feel close to God, when we receive an acknowledgement that our lives are headed in the right direction. Perhaps you've had such experiences, whether or not they occurred on an actual mountaintop. Times when you were with people that helped form you in your faith. Recalling these experiences can give us the strength that sustains us in difficult times. It is possible that Jesus needed this experience to sustain him as he left the mountaintop and journeyed toward the cross. Perhaps Peter James, and John found strength in the memory of that experience as they encountered hardship while leading the early church. Peter may have hoped that by building dwelling places for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, he could have a lifetime of mountaintop experiences. But Jesus needed to come off the mountain, back down into the world, and start his journey to the cross. And Peter, James, and John also could not stay on that mountaintop, for they had their own journeys to make. Perhaps that is why the voice came from the cloud, redirecting Peter's attention. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Listen. Listen for the voice of Jesus as he calls you. Yes, you. Saying, I have chosen you. Follow me. You are called. You are chosen. You are chosen people of God. Amen." And let us join together in singing, "We are a chosen people of God." Those people who have served this church faithfully and well, who are now leaving the church council. And we have a little something for you. It's So, Dean.
You're welcome. And this one is for Leslie, who's not here. But thank you so much for all the work that you have done for this congregation. I know that you have worked hard, faithfully, and diligently. We thank you so much for your service. We know that you will continue to bless this church. So please, let's acknowledge Dean's work with us and Leslie's as well.
And I have to thank the people out here for giving me the opportunity to serve you. Thank you.
The following people have been elected by this congregation to positions of leadership. We give thanks for their willingness to serve. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We rejoice now that these will lead us in our common life and our mutual mission as a congregation. So at this time, we install these members of our church council: Scott Madsen, President; Chris Johns, Vice President; Michelle Lofgren, Secretary; Paul Thompson, Jean Baum. Please come forward. Just stand there in front of the congregation. A reading from 1 Corinthians. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith bear witness to God, who gathers us into one another with the whole church. You are to seek to involve all members of this congregation in worship, learning, witness, service, and support, so that the mission of God is carried out in this congregation, in the wider church, in this community, and in the whole world. You are to be faithful in your specific area of serving, that the Spirit who empowers you may be glorified. You are to be examples of faith active in love, fostering peace, harmony, and mutual understanding in this congregation. On behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected? If so, please respond, "I will." And I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Now I'm going to ask the members of the congregation to stand. People of God, I ask you, will you support these, your elected leaders, and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? If so, please respond, "We will," and we ask God to help us.
We will.
And if our leaders will turn and face me. I now declare that you are installed as officers and council members of this congregation. May Almighty God bless you and direct your days and your deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ. Amen. So turn around, face the people that you serve, and let us acknowledge them. And thank you so much for your willingness to serve and to continue to serve. You may return to your seats. And let us continue with the Apostles' Creed. So stand back up if you sat back down. So let us join together in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. Transform us by your greatness, O God. Send us down the mountain to share joy with all people. Make us agents of change, confident that your hope will vanquish despair and your goodness will conquer evil. God of grace, hear our prayer. The mountains and valleys sing your praise. Dazzle us with your presence in every landscape. Bluffs built by ancient glaciers. Canyons carved by flowing rivers. Flat horizons with uninterrupted views. And sands shaped by ocean tides. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You love justice and establish equity. Strengthen leaders of local governments, communities, nonprofits, and grassroots campaigns. Bless them with gifts of integrity, creativity, and sound conscience. Build up safe and joyful communities where all people may thrive. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Heal those who are in distress, especially the people of Ukraine, and those people who are on our prayer chain, and others who we name aloud right now or in the quietness of our hearts. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. Give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Today we shout Alleluia from the mountaintop. This week we enter the wilderness of Lent. Bless all who prepare and lead us in worship during this change of season. Pastors, deacons, musicians, and all who contribute to our worship life, especially the members of our church council. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are they who listen to Christ's voice in this life and now rest with him, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Transform us from glory into glory and give us your peace that we do not lose heart. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all our prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
And let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for sending in your offering to the church, bringing it here, or giving it through online banking. It helps us to bless this church and community and the wider world. Let us join together in our offertory, Create in Me a Clean Heart. It is number 186.
Thank you.
right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who, sharing our life, lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to your own brilliant light. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
indeed one body in this one Lord. For that we say, Hallelujah. We are God's chosen people, and for that we say,
Hallelujah.
Helen, can I have you come and help me? I need to drop my own Hallelujah. Let's put in Hallelujahs for everyone who isn't here. Okay, your sister's not here. We'll drop in Hallelujah for her. My husband isn't here, so we'll drop in Hallelujah for him. Drop them all in. And then, yeah, put them all in here, and let's see. Let's go. Here, just, you can use this. Let's just put some of those. Let's put some soil over that. We'll finish it later. Thank you. And with that, we bid farewell to one of those words that is so important to us that we will not be hearing again until the great feast of Easter. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have brought us to your heart and nourished us with your table with food for your drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people of the world and to claim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the blessing. The God of steadfastness and encouragement, grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all grace, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us join together in our sending song, This Little Light of Mine. It is number 677.
Thank you.